Yo, welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. We cover breaking news, culture, matic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. QE is back, baby. They turned on the money printers. And you think it's a coincidence that Bitcoin pumped the way it did? Anyways, I think, and I was telling this to my girlfriend over the weekend, the price of Bitcoin right now, you know, on the heels of a potential banking catastrophe where, you know, all the largest central banks all around the world coordinated in a statement. And the fact that Bitcoin pumped like 7K because of that news tells you how people it's the first 2 minutes, so I can't say the curse word, but not the altcoins, right? But Bitcoin specifically tells you everything you need to know, right? Bitcoin is the insurance policy. It is, you know, to use Opti's ex-girlfriend's own words, it is the escape valve. And the market feels that way. You know, what was the quote by Satoshi, Chancellor in the Genesis block, right? Chancellor on the brink of the second bailout for banks. What number are we on nowadays? What is this, like the fifth? You know, this is crazy. He knew. And I mean, obviously he knew. Look, we always say this, right? If you had the power of the money printer, you would use that, wouldn't you? I don't think anyone would be able to resist that temptation, right? Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And honestly, I don't think that they think that they're twirling their mustaches and they're like, ha, ha, ha. You know, we're going to steal from people's futures. No, I genuinely think that they really believe in the high church of fiat. They really believe in this, you know, in this Keynesian economics, central planning works, bro. And I do believe that they think they're doing what's best. But today, we're not only going to cover what happened over the weekend, but we're going to cover the consequences of what money does, what printing money does to people that don't own assets. Meaning if you're in the lower and middle classes, if you're under the age of 35 and you haven't had the time to accumulate wealth, you'll own nothing. And they tell you this, you know, like the quintillionaires are even using, they're even trying to meme this into reality. You own nothing and be happy, right? Like, this is nuts. And this is why we're here, right? This is what Bitcoin is all about. It's about taking back your energy, your time, your work, and taking it back into your own hands, right? This is what the peaceful revolution's about. This is nuts. I don't know how this will end, but all I know is that I sleep very, very soundly at night because I own Bitcoin and I have that said Bitcoin in self-custody. While everyone's freaking out like, holy crap, the banks, you know, should I take money out of this bank? Should I put in this bank? I'm like, dude, like, I have Bitcoin, not Bitcoin self-custody. I don't really care. You know, like, I, you know, of course I care. It would be catastrophic to watch the global financial system melt down. But at the same time, you know, buy yourself some insurance. That's, you know, get yourself some. Maybe it catches on. Anyways, I want to bring up my very special host today. He's always optimistic. Even with the banks collapsing, Opti has a smile on his face. How you doing,
Optimus? Well, first off, special like special Ed, but hey, that's neither here nor there. No, man, honestly, like Nico, you said it best. I feel like my Bitcoin Zen attitude now is like even further in overdrive. I'm so happy to be a Bitcoiner right now. We are continuously seeing this not contagion happening in the banking system, and we have Bitcoin. Like, Bitcoin was made for this moment. Bitcoin is not only made for this moment, but as we are seeing in regard to the price, there is people waking up to the idea that, oh my goodness, I need to get my money out of the system, even if it's a little bit. And so, again, what do I say every single time on the show? The Bitcoin price is a real-time metric of people's understanding of Bitcoin. And, you know, someone woke up to that same idea that we are saying, You need your money out of the system because you cannot trust the fiat system. And here we are again, Nico. What is this? Fifth bailout for the banks, or is this last one just one big continuous bailout? Like, what is going on here? Doesn't really matter as a Bitcoiner. You just get to watch on the sidelines and eat some popcorn. But man, it is not looking good. Again, they're just papering it over, and most people are still asleep at the wheel. But as Bitcoiners, we are hyper focused on this because this is the most important thing going on in the world right now. And, you know, people are still just in an Enya video, like the Big Short quote. Anyways, on today's culture, we got Brian from Orange Pill App, and this is something that I like to talk about a lot. I really like how you guys put it on your website, the Bitcoin social layer. So we'll get into that in the culture today, but this is something that I continuously talk about. Make sure you are surrounded by Bitcoiners because life is so much better. Anyways, how you doing, Brian?
I'm great, guys. Yeah, I mean, you nailed that. Absolutely. Like, whether it's today, like on a day where Bitcoiners are kind of rejoicing because price is going up and the thesis is intact, like that's a great time to be surrounded by Bitcoiners. But in the throes of the bear market, it was also a great time to be surrounded by Bitcoiners. So, I mean, you really can't go wrong when you're stacking friends. Like it's the fail-proof option.
Amen to that. Yeah, amen to that. Yeah, bro. I don't think I've ever met a more optimistic group of people where, you know, we're on the heels of a potential banking collapse, banking catastrophe, and Bitcoiners like, yo, price is pumping. We're good. My wealth is in my custody. You know, and maybe a lot of people will say that's selfish, but I mean, we told you so. Like I don't know how long we've been telling you for like the last, you know, how long has it been? I personally, in my personal experience, I've been telling people for 7 years now. Right. And I'm sure you guys have very similar stories, right? You know, come join our side. It's a lot nicer over here. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the numbers. We have a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
All right, guys, I also want to give a shout out to the biggest Bitcoin conference on the face of the planet, Bitcoin 2023. It's going to be hosted in sunny Miami Beach, Florida, May 18th through the 20th, 2023. You're not going to want to miss it. And of course, we have a very special promo for you guys. You could use promo code SIMPLY to get 10% off your tickets. Let's go through some of the speaker lists: Matt O'Dell, Lynn Alden, Stacey Herbert, Alex Gladstein, Jack Maulers, Michael Saylor, Arthur Hayes, Michael Lewis, and many, many more. You don't want to miss this Bitcoin celebration. Promo code SIMPLY. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 27,575 sats per dollar, 300,627, block height 781,683, reachable Bitcoin nodes 16,902, blocks to the halving 58,317, halving estimate April 21st, 2024, total Lightning Network capacity 5,402, Bitcoin capacity value $149 million, realized monetary inflation. Bitcoin continues to take fiat currencies to absolute school, 1.76%, and the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $532 billion. In the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin is still a baby. I thought it would be appropriate to read a passage that O'Dell retweeted, and I think it's very indicative of the times. And if my memory serves me correctly, I'm pretty certain that this passage comes from the book, The Sovereign Individual, which I highly recommend for anyone who's listening. Sovereign Individual makes the case that information technology, right, what I call the great disintermediation, right, is going to basically make politics in the long term irrelevant. And it's also going to fundamentally change the relationship between individual and government, right? And I think that we are all, you know, some people call it the fourth turning, whatever theory you would like to believe. But we could definitely see the cracks in the seams, right? Some people use the word, the description clown world to describe it. And I would say that clown world is a symptom of the money, the more they print, the more the money gets disconnected from reality, right? The money was connected to reality for a long time as the US was on the gold standard, right? So, you know, theoretically, every dollar was backed by, you know, a certain amount of gold, a certain, you know, weight in gold, right? Since that's been disconnected, I think, you know, the more and more they print money, right? Not to mention the economical effects. I think it's poison to people's minds if they have this idea that money could just be printed out of thin air. And I think there's deep psychological effects to that. And the reason that I'm saying this is because I know how much my life has changed since I've adopted a Bitcoin standard. And I've had plenty of conversations with many other people, and they tell me very, very similar things, right? They adopt a Bitcoin standard, and all of a sudden they start caring about their health. They start caring about things that they normally wouldn't, you know, care about. And think about it. Money plays an essential role in any human being's life. It's half of every transaction. So it would make sense that a money that is fundamentally disconnected from reality has negative consequences on that person's life. Now, if you contrast that with Bitcoin, right, you have a money that is anchored to reality by proof of work, right? What are the effects of that, right? It's not a coincidence that a lot of, you know, it's after 2 minutes, so I could use the curse word now. It's not a coincidence that a lot of the shitcoiners whose money is not based on good principles show or act a lot of the acts that a lot of people under a fiat standard act. We always say shitcoins are fiat times 100, right? Bitcoin is the unique thing here. Anyways, so I'm going to read this passage by Odell. Took a screenshot of the sovereign individual. It goes on to say, with the speed of change outracing the moral and economic capacity of many and living generations to adapt, you can expect to see a fierce and indignant resistance to the information revolution, notwithstanding its great promise to liberate the future. You must understand and prepare for such unpleasantness. A transition crisis lies ahead. The new information and communication technologies are more subversive of the modern state than any political threat to its predominance since Columbus sailed. This is important because those in power have seldom reacted peacefully to developments that undermine their authority. They are not likely to now. The clash between the new and the old will shape the early years of the new millennium. We expect it to be a time of great danger and great reward, and a time of much diminished civility in some realms and unprecedented scope in others. Excuse me. Increasingly autonomous individuals and bankrupt, desperate governments will confront one another across a new divide. We expect to see a radical reconstruction of the nature of sovereignty and the virtual death of politics before the transition is over. Instead of state domination and control of resources, you are destined to see the privatization of almost all services governments now provide. For inescapable reasons that we explore at length in this book, information technology will destroy the capacity of the state to charge more for its services than it worth to the people who pay for them. And now, I read this passage and I think of El Salvador, right? The economist Max Kaiser tweeted a screenshot of The Economist. And in that screenshot, The Economist said, El Salvador or Nayib Bukele has lowered the crime rate in El Salvador. Therefore, that is a threat to democracy. You know, and reading that passage, you understand where they're coming from, right? It was never about lowering the crime rate. It was never about improving the country. For them, it was always about power, right? So, and I think you'll continue to see this. I think the statement about bankrupt, desperate governments, I think we are seeing this. What happens when people wake up to the scam that is fiat money, right? We are definitely going into tumultuous times, but I know that I'm safe, my family's safe, because we own Bitcoin, and that Bitcoin is in self-custody. And that's the recommendation I have for you guys. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts on that passage? And then we'll press it on to Brian.
Well, me and a few of our friends have, you know, leaned in and created the meme of Bitcoin Zen. And it's because we've all felt the same psychological change of holding Bitcoin for your future and what that actually does for not only yourself, but, you know, the ripples that go on in your behavior and everything around you. And what we're seeing play out today is reality smacking the fiat world in the face. Like, this is becoming more obvious than ever. And you can't run away from reality forever. And this is why we always say that Bitcoin is truth, Bitcoin is hope, because things will snap back to reality and there will be a reckoning for the fiat world. And I'm just glad that I am a Bitcoiner. Like, hence why Bitcoiners are so paranoid, but also are so hopeful, is because we know what's on the horizon. They can't kick the can down the road forever. There will be this, you know, snap back down to reality, back to the base layer. And as a Bitcoiner, we are just in for the great transition. We are in for the ride of our lives. And this is the great opportunity we've been presented with. The fact that you're here today means to me that you understand something that most people in the world don't understand. And this is how not only we can improve our lives, but also, you know, I hate to use the dirty P word, but how we can profit off this crazy stuff that is happening. Like, your future self will be very happy that you are here today, that you put in the work, that you are saving in Bitcoin. And I mean, it's something that we talk about all the time, Nico. You know, it's upon us as individuals to change the world by changing ourselves and our worldviews and our behaviors and adapt to the world as it is and not as we want it to be or how it was in the past, but as it truly is. And Bitcoin is that future. And we know this to be true since we are Bitcoiners, since we show up every single day, we put in the work. Bitcoin is that digital money for the digital world. So again, we say it every single day, take your Bitcoin into self-custody, provide value, save in Bitcoin, and then just spread the message out there. And part of spreading that message is just being a good human and being a shining example of being a Bitcoiner, living a good life. And in probably one of the most uncertain and pessimistic, nihilistic moments that we can be facing as, you know, people in this digital world in the future, being a Bitcoiner is how you spread that message, just because we are hopeful and things are looking crazy. I don't know about you guys, but if you've been following the news the last couple of days, the last week, most of the talking heads in the fiat system are either gaslighting you and completely unaware of what's going on, or they are shitting bricks in the background because they know that things are blowing up. And so they're doing anything in their power to just continue to keep the status quo. But hey, you know, this is why we have Bitcoin. This was why Bitcoin was created. If we are on the verge of another financial crisis, at least we have Bitcoin today. And it's like hard not to be hopeful right now. It's hard not to like unplug from the matrix and be like, hey, whatever, let me just do what I can. Let me take care of myself and my family and just see where the ashes lie at the end of this and where all the rubble is, because I have Bitcoin in cold storage. And really, you know, while it does affect me, I'm going to be pretty good. You know, I will ride the roller coaster and I will be fine. So, hey, I hope the fiat world figures it out, because it is looking very crazy out there. You're muted, Nico. You're muted.
Anyway, sorry. I was trying to mute my cough. Anyways, Brian, what are your thoughts on what's going on, bro?
Well, geez. I mean, amen. Hallelujah. Stamp it, double it. I second that. Opti, that's amazing. I mean, usually in a room of my friends, I get to be the optimistic one. So I kind of feel like a lightweight here, but good Lord, man. So yeah, I mean, there's, when you read The Sovereign Individual, it's like a prophecy of Bitcoin. I mean, it's kind of a trip. It was like exactly, I think 10 years before Bitcoin was invented that The Sovereign Individual was written, something like that. But it feels like it's describing Bitcoin perfectly. Or you look back at other people like Milton Friedman, the way he described money or a perfect currency, it's almost like he's describing Bitcoin. Again, he's describing that back in the 90s. But there's this wonderful quote, and I think it's so applicable for today, because I think as Bitcoiners were accused, I think the other day Elon Musk tweeted out, he said, it seems like people on Twitter are just rooting for the world to fail. And I think that's like such a myopic view of what Bitcoiners are doing. So the way the quote goes, it says, the guy with the parachute doesn't want the plane to crash, but he's prepared in case it does. And so that's all we're doing as Bitcoiners. We've been prepared for the plane to crash. We don't want the plane to crash. We want as many people to grab parachutes before the plane crashes as possible. But the onus of what we have as Bitcoiners is this tremendous hope. None of this is surprising to us, right? I don't think anybody in this room, anybody in this chat, on this show right now is surprised by what's happening in the world. We've seen this. This is a consequence of fiat currency. This is a consequence of centrally planned government. It's like having a hole in a boat and water's filling up. And you know, they took some buckets and threw some water overboard and said, I think we fixed it. And then water keeps filling up. You know, 5 minutes later, the levels are even higher. And then they throw some more water out. And I think we fixed it. That's what's been happening for generations. And we're getting to this critical point where fiat currencies only have a certain amount of life. I mean, the US dollar's been off the gold standard for over 50 years. 48 years is like the high end of the life cycle of fiat currencies. Fiat currencies typically exist from 12 to 48 years. We're 51 years, you know, 52 years now into the fiat, like pure fiat experiment with the US dollar. So yeah, I mean, none of this is expected. And so when you have a fix for it, when you have something that's a lifeline for other people, there's a lot to celebrate. By no means celebrating the world collapsing. We're by no means celebrating the pain, but what we are celebrating is that, hey, there's a fix. This is the transition. What we all recognize is this is the transition to the fair and balanced system that we all want. The people that don't even know they want this yet are going to want this. And, whether they're forced to adopt it or whether we can help them pleasantly adopt it in a very positive way ahead of the curve, either way, we know that that makes for a better world. And so, yeah, there's a lot to be optimistic about in these dark times.
And the system that we're advocating for, it's equally beneficial, right? Like, fine, you know, someone might have more Bitcoin than you, right? But at the same time, you're still getting the same benefits, right? And I think their system, they're advocating for a system where that's not true. Right there, you know, there's a class that benefits and there's a class that, you know, kind of gets hold, you know, kind of gets screwed. Right. So we're advocating for a totally different system. And that's something that I want to focus on and emphasize on, especially when we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about during the news segment. Anyways, everybody, let's get to it. We have a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin.
Bankruptcy of a global systematically important bank would have caused irreparable economic turmoil in Switzerland and throughout the world. For this reason, Switzerland had to take the responsibilities beyond its own borders. These efforts have paid off. The Federal Council is convinced that UBS takeover of Credit Suisse has laid the foundations for greater stability both in Switzerland and internationally. Ich danke Ihnen.
Why does it keep happening? Like, why does this keep happening? Anyways, let's check out the Reuters article. Switzerland wakes to new era after historic bank merger. Employees shocked. Switzerland, and again, it's another bank consolidating with another bank, right? It's like, it's just nuts. Anyways, and then this led to an announcement. I believe this played a major role, an announcement by, it wasn't just the Fed, I might add. It was a bunch of the central banks all around the world. Several major banks announced coordinated action to increase U.S. dollar liquidity provision in the global market through swap lines. So is the U.S. Federal Reserve, the Bank of Canada, Bank of England, Bank of Japan, Swiss National Bank, and the European Central Bank, right? So, and then why is this happening? Well, you know, the Fed it's raising rates, right, in the hopes of, you know, cooling down inflation, making it more expensive to borrow money. And we're always saying something's going to break. Well, things are breaking, right? You had SVB. Now you have a major bank being bought by another bank. What's next, right? But in the, you know, in the background of all this chaos, right, all I remember is that, you know, the two people fighting and then the guy like hitting the bong in the background. And it's like, those are Bitcoiners. And then those are the central bankers fighting in the front. That's what it reminds me of, dude. You know, it's peace of mind, right? Anyways, a bank employee association said it was deeply shocked by the potential consequences from the deal to save the 167-year-old Credit Suisse after customer and market confidence in the lender evaporated. In a package orchestrated by Swiss regulators on Sunday, UBS will pay 3 billion Swiss francs for Credit Suisse and assume up to 5.4 billion in losses. Headquartered just a few minutes walk away from each other, not far from Lake Zurich, in the center of the city with snow-capped mountains on the horizon, the two lenders have been pillars of global finance for decades. The banks, two of the most systemically relevant in global finance, hold combined assets of up to 140% of the Swiss GDP, according to the central bank, in a country heavily dependent on finance for its economy. Bank exposure. The banking sector in Switzerland plays an outsized role in the economy compared to other major countries. Bank assets are more than 500% of annual GDP. The Swiss Bank Employees Association, in a statement told Reuters, demanded that UBS keep job cuts to an absolute minimum. Quote, the jobs of many employees are at stake. The statements underscore the sense of unease in Switzerland with its reputation as a global financial center on the line. Anyways, so let's move on to the announcement by the Fed. And this came out on the weekend as well, on Sunday. Goes on to say, coordinated central bank action to enhance the provision of U.S. dollar liquidity. The Bank of Canada, the Bank of England, the Bank of Japan, the ECB, the Federal Reserve, and the Swiss National Bank are today announcing a coordinated action to enhance the provision of liquidity via the standing U.S. dollar liquidity swap line arrangements to improve the swap line's effectiveness in providing U.S. dollar funding. The central banks currently offering U.S. dollar operations have agreed to increase the frequency of 7-day maturity operations from weekly to daily. These daily operations will commence on Monday, March 20th, 2023, and will continue at least through the end of April. The network of swap lines among these central banks is a set of available standing facilities and serve as an important liquidity backstop to ease strains in global funding markets. Okay, what does that mean? They're turning on the money printers, baby. Anyways, moving on to the balance sheet, right? So, you know, this is why we're all here. 2008, Chancellor and the second bailout for banks. That's really when the QE experiment started happening. And ever since then, right, look at this. It looks like the Bitcoin price, honestly, right? You know, all the previous peaks are dwarfed by the new ones. So this is just crazy, right? This started 2008, you know, and you could tell they tried to taper down during the Trump administration that caused the famous repo market crisis. They had to turn around, and then the pandemic hit, and then they turned on the money printers again. And then they what happened was inflation went too crazy, and they, in the hopes of they had to cool it down, and you know they started quantitative tightening, right? But as you could see, they had to reverse that lately too. If you guys could see the video version, the blip goes up once again. Now, what are the consequences of this, right? The consequences of this is you're being stolen from. Every time they print money, we've covered this many times on the show. It's a wealth redistribution mechanism from the people that own assets. Sorry, the people that do not own assets, the lower and middle class that are salary workers, they're paycheck to paycheck. They do not have the means to save in assets, to put their money in the stock market, or put their money in real estate. Therefore, you know, their purchasing power decreases, while the purchasing power of people that do have the means to save an asset, the very wealthy, and also it's a wealth redistribution mechanism back to the government as well, right? The government does not collect enough tax revenue to to, you know, to fulfill his expenses, right? They have to deficit spend every single year. It's about $1 trillion. How do they get away with that? They get away with that with the money printer, right? This is the median sales price of houses sold in the United States, right? It's literally a thing up, right? So if you are, you know, around 25, 30, 35, and you're looking for your first home, the money printing does have a consequence. You're priced out of it. It has a direct effect on your life, right? And I have to remind everybody, like, this is why we're here. Like, this is the peaceful revolution. Like, this is what we're protesting. But the protest, all it requires is it requires a vote of no confidence. And that vote of no confidence is you buying Bitcoin, earning Bitcoin, mining Bitcoin, and taking that said Bitcoin into self-custody. That's your vote. You heard it in the very beginning when I read you that quote from the sovereign individual. You actually want to effectuate real change. It's not about voting. It's about defunding their system. Their system that has not helped you. It has helped a certain group of people, but it has not helped everybody. Since the 1970s, salaries have been relatively flat. We've all heard this many, many times. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. It's not because of capitalism. It's not the economic system that's broken. It's the money that's broken. The money is stealing from everybody. But this is why we're here. This is why we always say, fix the money, fix the world. Bitcoin really does fix this. I said the meme. It really does fix this in this particular situation. This is about taking back control of your financial sovereignty, taking it back into your hands. If not, you're going to have to deal with the madness. I don't think that this is the end. Like, I don't, in my entire life, I've never seen the most powerful central banks all around the world coordinate and say, hey, everything's going to be fine. We're going to turn on the money printers again. Greg Foss says it all the time, right? It's math, QE to infinity. They can't stop printing. But if they continue to print, that means real estate prices are more expensive. That means your life becomes more expensive while your salary stays relatively the same. Is that fair to you, right? And this is what Bitcoin's about. Bitcoin saying, I don't want that system. It's not fair to me. It's not fair to my family. I'm going to take the power back into my own hands. I'm going to opt out. I don't want to participate in that. I'm on that tip. I have a feeling Opti's on that tip. Opti, are you on that tip, bro?
Yes, sir.
What about you, Brian? Are you on that tip?
I'm on that tip. I don't know what that means, but I think I get what you're saying. I'm on that tip.
All right, we're all on that tip. Anyways, I want to pull up this. I want to pull up this tweet thread by Arthur Hayes. He is the founder and was the CEO of BitMEX, and he explains swap lines, what's going on. TLDR: another way to bail out non-U.S. banks that isn't obvious to the average person, right? It's politically toxic for the Fed to be seen bailing out foreign banks when so many small domestic banks need help. But the Fed can't have foreign banks dumping treasuries into an illiquid market and further effing shit up. Solution: Fed gives dollar swap lines to major central banks like the ECB. ECB allows European banks to give them treasuries at par. ECB gives dollars to the banks. Banks can now handle any dollar deposit outflows. European central banks gets the dollar from the Fed using the swap line. Result: no treasuries are actually sold. Any profit and loss is borne by the central bank, who can stomach infinite losses. Dollar swap line balances balloon, which will reflect on the Fed's balance sheet. 4.4 trillion amount of treasury and MBS US banks hold. $X amount of treasury and MBS foreign banks hold. I don't know the number, I'm sure some analysts will tell us. Long term, all treasuries held in the entire developed country banking system can now be lent against at par. Money printer, go burr. Man, did Satoshi called it. But the good news is, like I've been saying, this is why we're here. This is what the peaceful revolution is all about. While the crazy clown world, central banking, Keynesian, you know, and all the other nice things that I could describe it as, is breaking down around us Bitcoiners are just watching on the sidelines eating popcorn. Anyways, Opti, What are your thoughts? And then we'll pass it on to Brian.
Yeah, great summary there, Nico. And you actually reminded me of this tweet that I saw this morning. So I wanted to pull it up because it kind of goes into what Brian was saying as well. So for those in the audio, this is a tweet. I'd never seen this account before, but this is Tank Terminator on Twitter. And he goes, "Doesn't matter if it's modern day America or the Roman Empire. When the state decided to dilute the money, it all ends the same. Below is one chart of how much money the U.S. has printed and the other an inverted chart of the declining silver content in the Roman denarius." And he said, history rhymes. And Nico brought up this chart and you can see, you know, how much they've inflated the dollar at the Fed. And then if you go over here looking at the inverted, what was it? The declining silver content in inverted chart. And for those audio listeners, it looks literally almost identical. Again, you know, history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. And it reminds me of this tweet that I saw over the weekend, basically saying, you know, we are seeing the decline of the Roman Empire, but we have Bitcoin. Like, I really do feel like this is kind of where we are. If you really zoom out and you see what's going on in society, you see all the societal, you know, crisis, all the decline in society. It really does feel like we are seeing, you know, the Roman Empire decline, but we have Bitcoin. And this is the silver lining here. And I really do like that Reuters article headline, you know, the Swiss woke up in a new era, because I actually do feel like we are saying the same thing, except for obviously they're looking at it in a different way because they realize that their financial system isn't as safe as they thought it was. And I think this might be one of those defining moments where the world will, you know, as humans, we like to have like clean cuts from the old world to the new world. And this might be one of those where we're like, hey, look, we've been telling you this for a long time, and this is why we Bitcoin. So maybe this is one of those moments where we are waking up to a new era collectively as a society. It's just that they don't understand that that new era is going to be on Bitcoin. So, you know, it's almost as if the Fed broke the banking system this last year, and we are just still in the middle of this, and everyone's like chickens with their heads cut off. And further, like, I really thought we lived in a capitalist society, but, you know, hey, I'm just a naive Bitcoiner. And as we continuously see, whether it was in 08 or now in 2023, privatized gains and socialized losses. And if you don't understand, you are paying the bill here, average peasant, you know, average pleb out there. That's a normal person. Like, the banks just got bigger and bigger, consolidating the counterparty risk and passing on the damage to the average person. And it's almost like they knew that this would happen again and again. So we say it every single day, basically. The powers that be do not care about you. Like, please wake up. You need to figure out for yourself what is the best way to move forward. Your money isn't yours when it goes into the bank. Like, I hope you understand what you are really risking when you give banks your money. And this is why we are Bitcoiners. This is why we continuously tell you to take your value, your wealth into self-custody, because you cannot trust these banks. They are doing absolutely greedy, shady things that you would never do with your savings, and then you pay the bill. Like, this is absolute clown world. And truthfully, if I wasn't a Bitcoiner and I wasn't watching all this happen in slow motion, like, I would be appalled. I would like, it would be such a big catastrophe that I probably wouldn't believe it either. But I'm a Bitcoiner. I've been seeing this happen for a long time. We've been talking about this for what, a decade and a half, that this would happen. And here we are, and people are still just oblivious to what's going on. So again, I think this is just further proof to the asymmetric knowledge that Bitcoiners have. And then understanding, like, man, we are really ahead of the curve. You know, buckle up. It's going to be a crazy decade, and your life is going to get better because we're right. And, you know, it's just beautiful. It's just a beautiful thing to be a part of.
Amen, dude. Amen to that. But yeah, dude, look, if you are a millennial, like, if you are under the age of 35, you won't own anything. Like, this makes life unaffordable for you. Right. And this, you know, it falls down to those people. Right. Like, what are we going to do about it? Like, what are our options here? Our option is, okay, you know what? You can keep your system. I'm going to opt out. And if you want to know, like, how over the target we are, like, how much it freaks them out that we can opt out, look at their reactions towards Bitcoin. It tells you everything. It tells you that they need you there. They need you using a system. They need you using a money that steals from you. And enough is enough. Anyways, Brian, what's your take? And then we'll get to the culture.
Yeah, man, they're proof of stake Ponzi scheme. Like it literally needs participants. It like that's like the people are the fuel in their system. And so when we extract the fuel, what happens? It's like their fire goes out, man. It's going to be beautiful when we take that away. In the comments, the old school millennial summed this up perfectly. He said the fiat Ponzi is transitory. So what a beautiful statement, old school millennial. But yeah, I mean, all the time, like this is what I love about what's happening right now is the fact that people are seeing front and center in real time. Anybody that's taking the time to understand this situation is finally realizing that the system is rigged. Like that's the really powerful thing about this moment. The downside is a lot of people still aren't paying attention. They will just read the headlines and they won't fully, you know, they won't go below that inch deep. I wrote a book called Bitcoin Evangelism, and I go through things like this. I think it's really important for us to take our friends aside when these things are happening and when they ask us questions about, oh, I heard about these bank bailouts. What's going on? And I heard this was a crypto bank that got bailed out. That must be really hard for Bitcoin right now. We get those kind of texts and calls from the uninitiated. And I think it's best to just bring it back to these simple things. And so, like I was saying in my book, I go through these, you know, what are different simple ways to help articulate how the system is rigged against us? So for example, one of the things is like, if you're poor, you are literally prohibited by the government from certain investment types, right? If you're not an accredited investor, then you cannot, it is illegal for you to invest in the next unicorn that's going to potentially generate wealth in the stock market or any, you know, certain real estate deals. And you're actually prohibited from investing, which is the tried and true method of building wealth in this country or any country on the world or in the world. So if you cannot build wealth, what's the other option for you? Well, the government, they sponsor and run organized gambling. You're more than welcome to participate in a lottery that's run by the state, and they're going to advertise it to you. And if you read any of the statistics about lotteries or state organized gambling, like bingos and things like that, it's predominantly participated in by the lowest 5% in terms of socioeconomic status. It is overwhelmingly targeted to the poorest amongst us, who are also simultaneously disallowed from investing in lucrative investments. So you're not allowed to do the thing that actually generates wealth. You are allowed to do the thing that has tried and true destroyed wealth. If that's not like black and white enough for people, then I don't know what is. So I think it's really good to take examples like that, because people that don't understand bank bailouts and bonds and international finance and things like that, some of this stuff might be lost on them. But when you just break it down, like, yeah, there's actually systemic, you know, we'll use this like what sounds like liberal terminology, systemic oppression of people through the financial system. I think that helps illuminate some of what's going on right now. Like your government is not on your side. The powers that be are not on your side. And so the best thing we can do is opt into a system where it just removes human bias. I think people they gravitate towards centralized power because they think, well, I'm going to trust in the good, you know, the altruism of other people. Well, we know that as humans, we're fundamentally flawed. Like, I don't care how much I like Opti or Nico or whoever. Like, I consider myself a pretty good guy. But if you put your trust in me, I'm going to mess up at least 10% of the time. A system doesn't work with somebody that messes up 10% of the time. What we need to do is we need to trust in algorithmic perfection, because then it essentially removes that need for trust. And so, yeah, we can't trust in altruism. We can only trust in other people's self-interest. And that's why Bitcoin works so perfectly, because from mining to actually like using of the currency, all you can count on, all you have to rely on is that the other party is going to do what's in their best interest. And by them doing that, it actually benefits you as well. That sounds like a much better system.
Beautiful. And you hit the nail on the head. The incentives are aligned, right? And like, it doesn't matter, you know, if I consider myself a good person, Brian, you know, I consider yourself, you a good person. I consider Opti a good person. But bro, could you imagine if you had the power of the money printer? You would think that, you know, you were printing for good without even realizing what the unintended consequences are of that, right? We need a system where we separate the monetary policy completely out of the hands of human beings. We take it away, rip it from their hands, and that's what Bitcoin is, right? And look, this is story old as time, and I'm really glad that you brought up the Roman example, Opti, right? Every civilization, it starts, you know, backed one-to-one by gold, right? And then over time, they start cutting corners, right? Over time, right? And then before you know it, 50 years later, you are in the position that we are in today, right? So this is what it's about. We have to break that cycle. And the only thing that's capable of breaking that cycle is Bitcoin. Anyways, everybody, we were talking about, you know, a lot of the benefits and how do you save yourself from all this stuff? Well, you have to take self-custody. And you don't want to take self-custody on paper, because paper could be set on fire, it could break. You want to take self-custody on metal. And there's no better place to do it than the Domino Bit Plates. They're designed to preserve Bitcoin wallet backup seed phrases and pad phrases, made from highly coercion-resistant 316 marine-grade stainless steel, offering the ultimate protection against extreme temperatures. 10% off Bit Plates using the promo code SIMPLY. Visit bitplates.com. Back up your seed on steel. Don't be that person that loses their seed because they use paper. That's bad. Anyways, culture time.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, guys, I want to tell you about Swan's new offer, Swan IRA. Bitcoin is generational wealth, and you can secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in less than 1 minute. Transfers and rollovers are available. Swan's Bitcoin experts will get you set up with no transfer fees and no minimum balance requirements. This is real Bitcoin, not an ETF or other derivative. Get the real thing and get it at Swan. Go to swan.com/IRA for more details. And of course, if you have any questions, please feel free to send me a DM on Twitter. Opti, what do we have today, bro?
All right, guys. So as you can tell, we have Brian here from Orange Pill App. And this has been jokingly called, and I told Brian before this that I was going to drop it just for the comedic relief, jokingly called the Tinder for Bitcoiners. But I absolutely love this idea. I actually have this thread here that I'll get to in a minute that Joe Nakamoto put out. And it really like made me feel like, okay, I need to download this app. I've been on the Why Are We Bullish with Mateo. And again, we were laughing about the jokes that everyone makes about the Orange Pill app. But I like what you guys are doing, because I am a huge, huge proponent of the same idea. I actually like what your tagline right here, stack friends who stack sats. That's actually a catchy one for me. But this one, join the social layer of Bitcoin. I say it consistently, the same idea. And now we have this app, and it's this idea of, like, you need to surround yourself with Bitcoiners, you know, not only just to have a good time with your Bitcoin friends, but also if shit pops off, who else do you want around you? People that don't get what's going on or Bitcoiners? Anyways, Brian, how about we talk about your app, and then we'll go into a little deeper on what you guys are trying to do and what your hopes are.
Beautiful, man. Thank you for the tee up. So actually I watched that episode when you were on Why Are We Bullish with Mateo, and you said something really, really inspirational. And I've actually used it on other podcasts that I've been on. You said your closing remark, it's just funny because your optimism kind of just like bleeds over. And so you might not even remember, but you said that hyper Bitcoinization can happen today. It's a matter of us making a decision to do it or not, right? If we all say I'm on the Bitcoin standard as of today, then boom, like hyper Bitcoinization happens. So I think that the lag to that, why that hasn't happened yet, is because there hasn't been enough suitable tools, right? People are building merchant adoption protocols, you know, like easy things to integrate with people's POS. There's you know, Strike's going to get into Walmart and do all those crazy things. But there needs to be this social layer of Bitcoin, right? If I have Bitcoin and I want to buy beef, aside from DMing somebody on Twitter that might be interested in, you know, selling their beef for like Bitcoin, you don't know. But if you have a social network that plugs you into people that have a common shared set of values, then you cut through the noise. And so that's really what Orange Pill App has done. We have an app. It's literally the only social network that's 100% Bitcoiners. There's no altcoins on there. There's no scammers. There's no spammers. People ask all the time, like, how do you make sure that there's no scammers or spammers on there? Like, try out the app. You're going to be shocked that your inbox is filled with DMs from people that are genuinely interested and want to talk to you about Bitcoin. And there's no beautiful Asian women asking how your crypto trading is going. And maybe that's disappointing for some people. Maybe they have the high hopes for what that's all about. But the reason why is because it's a paid app. It's not a huge paywall. It's a couple bucks a month. But what that does is that ensures that you're only dealing with real people. And so we have it. You can, you know, pay in sats. You can do that as well. But when you have a paywall, now that wasn't my idea. When I joined the app, Mateo had already had this thing going. This is all Mateo's vision, and it's a beautiful thing. I think that there's going to be business books written about Orange Pill App, not because of my doing, but because of like the vision that Mateo had for this thing. Because that might sound a little crazy, but you don't start a social network with a paywall. Like, normally when you start a social network, you're trying to gain as many users as possible because you care about those metrics so you can go to VCs and get investments in your company. The problem is you get quantity, but you don't get quality. Orange Pill App has literally done the inverse. They said, we're going to start with a paywall and we don't care about the quantity. We're going to go for quality. And guess what? We focused on quality at the beginning. And the user base, the quantity is exploding right now. We had 157% growth since the beginning of the year. There's new plebs coming on every single day. And so it's really exciting because people are literally able to make connections with real Bitcoiners in real life. So we've all been to conferences. We've made connections online. We have this kind of online social network you can do that through Twitter. You can do that through YouTube. You can do it through all sorts of spaces. And that is a really critical part of Bitcoin. But one of the things that is underdeveloped in Bitcoin is the in real life connections. So few Bitcoiners have in real life connections. We try to talk to our friends about it and maybe they don't care. We try to talk to our significant other. I'm blessed. I have a wife that's like really into Bitcoin, but for a long time, she was very annoyed by it. And so like she would entertain me talking about it for a little bit, but after a certain point, I'd have to find other people to talk to it about. And so if your spouse, if your significant other is just sick of you talking about Bitcoin, you can literally go on the app, find 5 or 6 plebs in your area. Sometimes it depends where you live. Sometimes you might find 40 or 50 plebs in your area. You just go meet up for coffee, go grab a beer. And you want to talk about Bitcoin for 4 hours? You will find somebody that will sit down and will talk about the sovereign individual. They'll talk about the Bitcoin social layer. They'll talk about, you know, Bitcoin adoption, whatever you want to talk about. You will find those people through the app. It's a really, really cool tool for Bitcoiners.
Absolutely love it, bro. This is something that I say all the time. And I'm glad you brought up that quote because I didn't actually create that one. I took that from my friend Alex from Kaboom Racks. But I really do believe that hyper Bitcoinization is kind of like a state of mind. I know we are all waiting for like the mythical, you know, the whole world on Bitcoin. But I think we need to remember, like, not even the whole world's on the internet right now. And the internet's already taken over the world. And so, you know, Bitcoin doesn't have to hit every, you know, square inch of planet Earth for us to succeed at what we're doing. It's about you guys creating these connections in real life. And Brian, I love how you said that because I think that is some of the most important signal that we can be giving people is like, you no longer have to be the sole crazy Bitcoiner in your neighborhood. You can connect with other Bitcoiners, build friends, build relationships and communities right now. And we have the tools for this. Like, I'm not even on the Orange Pill App yet, but now I'm like, yo, I feel like I have to do this or else I'm LARPing on this. So I will have to do this soon. And then also, like I said, I have this thread right here from Joe Nakamoto, and it's a really good thread. Go check it out on his Twitter. But Brian, this leads me to my next question. What are some other like good stories that you've heard come out of the Orange Pill App? Like what's kind of these you know, tales that we like to call winning the hearts and minds of the masses out there? So has there been like good connections that you've heard of? I saw, you know, Joe's surfing a great wave over here that he'd never surfed before. Like I just think this is cool. As you know, a human, we are social, and connecting with other Bitcoiners, especially if you are the crazy Bitcoiner in your area, like it really it really brings some kind of, I don't know, like mental clarity, or like, I don't know, like mental zen, where you're just like, all right, I'm not alone. I'm not crazy person on the internet. There's more crazy people like me around here, and the signal is spreading.
Right. Well, we saw that. What was COVID? COVID was the world's biggest social experiment for isolation. What's the fix to that? Is actual, like, Zoom wasn't enough, right? Zoom wasn't enough to keep society going, to keep people from being depressed. You need to be there where you can look somebody in the eye and have an actual interaction with them. There's something different. There's something other. There's something magic about that. But yeah, that post that you shared with Joe Nakamoto, the other guy in that picture is Kent Halliburton, who's the CEO or COO of SAS Mining. They're like a renewable mining hosting service. And so, I mean, it's Bitcoiners from two completely different walks of life. You have this like nomad in Joe Nakamoto, and then you have this executive from this company that, yeah, they're just like out surfing, having a great time, met through the app, and have this shared experience now. One of the other really cool experiences that we have, I'm not going to say the guy's name because I want people to go into the app and you know, find them if you can. But there's an NBA player that's on Orange Pill app, huge Bitcoiner, by the way. And what he does is every home game, he goes and he finds somebody in his town and he just invites them to a courtside. He has courtside seats for them and their spouse or their friend. He'll give them a plus one. And then after the game, they can come on the court, shoot some hoops, take some pictures, and then have this experience that they would have literally never had if they weren't on Orange Pill app. And so that's what's happening when we connect Bitcoiners. There's all sorts of really influential Bitcoiners. There's multiple professional athletes. There's all sorts of, you know, trade professionals, people, there's like lawyers and all sorts of different walks of life on this app. People are meeting and having meaningful connections, whether it's an adventure, right? Like going to an NBA game, whether it's going surfing with somebody that you would have never met otherwise, or whether it's, we've had people that, again, have met their lawyer and it resolved the legal problem that was hanging over their head because they want to do business with Bitcoin lawyers, right? Lawyers can sometimes be a part of the old system, right? So to find a Bitcoin lawyer is like this really special thing. One of the unintended consequences that we've seen in the app, though, we assumed it was going to be all like really seasoned Bitcoiners. They were going to be willing to pay a couple bucks a month for an app, even though it's not a huge paywall. We just figured like to pay anything. But we're finding people that are newly initiated, like baby Bitcoiners that are maybe 6 months into their journey, and they're using the app to make connections and like take people out to lunch and just ask questions about Bitcoin and like further their orange pilling journey through actual, it's almost like an apprenticeship that people are doing and they're tagging along. So it's not only making social connections in Bitcoin, it's actually deepening the understanding for the existing Bitcoin population as well. And as you know, I mean, you guys benefit from this by having a show every single day. When you talk about Bitcoin, when you're explaining Bitcoin to somebody else, it actually helps you, right? It actually benefits your own knowledge because in order to explain something, you have to know it, you know, much, much more profoundly than if you were just kind of like, I kind of get that. So we're seeing all sorts of really unintended consequences. We're seeing, you know, good consequences. We're seeing all sorts of unintended experiences, things that we would have never seen. We've had people, you made the joke that it's a, you know, a dating app. We've had plenty of people that have found dates through it. Yep. You're scrolling over that right now. We haven't had the first Orange Pill app wedding though. We're talking about, we're setting a fund aside so that we can sponsor the first Orange Pill app wedding. So that hasn't happened yet, but we would love to participate in that in any way possible. I will get my, I will get ordained and perform the wedding if anybody wants me to.
Love it. Love all the positive. There is people in the chat though, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but they're asking, how does Orange Pill app protect users from being catfished or, you know, any other physical threats? Is this something that you guys are concerned about? Because obviously, as I have here, you know, Bitcoiners are very, very hyper focused on their privacy and their safety. So I don't know. Our audience is asking this, and then we can move on. And then before we move on, I want to point out one thing, but answer this question, Brian, at least alleviate their fears out there.
Yeah. And I always make the joke that that's kind of, if you've asked that question, you've passed the test and we want you on the app even more. It means that you're much more high signal. That's every single one of the people on the Orange Pill app team it was concerned about that. We're Bitcoiners through and through, pure Bitcoiners. And so privacy is like, we have this conundrum, right? We want Bitcoiners to be able to connect in real life, but we also want to maintain privacy. So how do we do that? And I think we found the perfect solution. What we use is it's a non-specific geolocation. So because we're not door dashing to you, because we're not coming and picking you up with an Uber, we don't need to know exactly where you are. Actually, in fact, we don't know where you are. It uses a 10-mile radius. And to some people, maybe that doesn't sound like a lot. And so the thought experiment I like to share with people is walk out in front of your house right now and look in a 10-mile radius. If I told you there's a pot of gold somewhere in that 10-mile radius and you have 2 weeks to find it, you won't find it. Like a 10-mile radius is absolutely huge. You can't pinpoint something in a 10-mile radius. And so that's a sufficient level of I don't know what you'd call it, but it's a sufficient level of hiding for any individual user. And if you want to turn that off, you can turn that off in your settings. So if you don't even want to have that location setting on, by all means, you can turn it off. Then you can still find people. You can still look up because we have a search function. So you could still search for people in your city if you wanted to as well. So you don't have to use this like, approximate location. Now, as far as like meeting up with people, I would just recommend to people, like there's always going to be a level of, discernment that you need to use with that, right? Like when don't just go meet up with any random person, like have a conversation with them beforehand, maybe jump on a call with them beforehand. But use all of this, the common sense that you would use if you're going to meet somebody, for example, on a dating app. Now our culture, is pretty well averse to dating apps. And so this is just part of it. Like people are going to meet. Put in your profile. Hey, I have a multi-sig wallet, so don't even bother robbing me, you know?
Love it. Hold on. Before we go on, Nico, I know we're running a little long. Guys, if you check out this thread by Joe, there's a cool video of Mateo buying him, a martini just through the phone. And I just thought that was absolutely awesome. Using the Lightning Network through like a Zoom call to pay for a beer. Like that little moment was one of those moments where I was like, holy shit, like this is actually like I just never thought of that. And I was like, well, you can't do that with normal money. Like you can't do that with the normal payment system. So like shout out to Joe, shout out to Mateo, shout out to Brian and the whole Orange Pill app team.
And the last thing I can say on that is just we don't ask for any private information. You can be as anonymous on the app as you want. You can use a made up email address. You can use a fake name. You can use a fake picture if you want. Obviously at some point, if you're going to be meeting people, you would be, revealing yourself to them, but that's as much as you feel comfortable with. You don't have to give anything to the app. So we want to maintain privacy as much as the user wants to maintain privacy. And we give you all the tools to do that. So I just want to make that clear because that is a high priority. That's actually part of the DNA of Orange Pill app, is creating social connections, but also maintaining the Bitcoin ethos.
Yeah, and I can't emphasize the importance of, knowing other Bitcoiners, because the reality is that most people haven't changed their operating system. And because they haven't changed their operating system, it's hard to communicate with them. Like, because they're operating on their perspective on the world is totally different to yours. And you're not alone. And it's not just Bitcoin Twitter. Like, there are people out there, this is where Bitcoin meetups play a great role. The Orange Pill app is a great tool, to connect with other Bitcoiners in your area. And look, we say this many times, right? As NGU technology does its thing, right? The most powerful and influential people in the world in, 15 to 20 years will be Bitcoiners, right? So, build up that network, whether it's people that, are making their own tools and whatnot, connect with those people. And I think this is a great tool to do just that. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the meme review. Let's talk some memes. It's gonna be Opti. We're gonna do like an hour 15 show today. Let's do it, bro.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Well, guys, you already know the meme. Tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery. We are in an information war out there, so continue to get the truth out there. Continue to spread that Bitcoin signal. And Nico just had to run, but to Nico's point, since my spaces is still not working, we are running a little over today to give you guys your fill of Simply Bitcoin. So here we are. But of course, guys, I say it every day, and I'll repeat myself. This is an information war, guys, and the importance of spreading that signal, building a solid community of people that you trust. Look, I know Bitcoin minimizes trust, but there will always be a certain amount of trust in your neighbors, in your society. This is part of being human and the human experience. But make sure you are spreading the signal. And by that, have the conversations with your friends and family. Make the meme. Spread it on not only Twitter, but on your other social media apps that I'm sure you still have. Because, hey, as much as we are completely isolated on Twitter, I'm sure some of you guys still have friends and family out there that you can send memes to in your group chats with your families and stuff. Anyways. Okay, first meme is by @ResistanceMoney, aka Andrew M. Bailey on Twitter. And, you know, sometimes the memes just write themselves, guys, and you don't even need to make the meme. You just kind of put a screenshot next to another screenshot. And this is where we're starting with today's meme review. So we have a headline here, and it goes, Credit Suisse CEO, Bitcoin, the very definition of a bubble, November 2nd, 2017. And if you've been following along by any means and you don't have your head in the sand, then you'd understand what happened over the weekend. Bank share slide as Credit Suisse rescue fails to quell contagion fears. It's almost like the banking system is the real bubble and Bitcoin is just the pin. But hey, I might be speaking in memes for you guys. And so I got some more memes here. And this one's a shout out to all our Gen Z Zoomers out there, because this one's pretty much written in your guys' phrasing. Anyways, this is the Mike Hobart. He dropped an awesome article for us, one of our newest writers, Bitcoin is Power, over the weekend. And we got Warren Buffett with, like a Gen Z haircut on top of it. And he goes, banks are not bussing right now, fam, and Debit Suisse acting kind of sus. I thought that was hilarious. Gen Z Zoomer speak. Anyways, this next one is by the BTC Therapist. And he goes, after a weekend of cold storage, hashtag Bitcoin. We got the very famous Elvis meme here. And it goes, going to work Monday morning. We have US dollar in the background. We got the bankers in the background. We got the Federal Reserve. Everyone's freaking out. And then Bitcoiners and Bitcoin just walking out with a big smile. It's almost like we're right. And we have the solution to the world's problems. And there's nothing to worry about if your Bitcoin is in cold storage. This next one is by @Bitcoin_Ader. And someone says this was blasphemous. If it is, forgive me. We have Jesus with laser eyes, and it's got the Bitcoin logo on him. And we got someone drowning in the flood, and it goes, Lord, I'm drowning. And it's got on top of it the actual financial system. And then Jesus with laser eyes goes, nice to meet you, drowning, because Bitcoin is not going to save you unless you have opted out of the madness. And we got Bitcoinator's quote right here. The flood is coming. Save yourself. Stack sats. Take Bitcoin into cold storage. This is the way. And you can watch the fireworks and eat popcorn. And this next one is by my friend @JimboCoin. And he just goes, hashtag Bitcoin. And this is the class, the new classic, the instant classic from the Joker. And we got Robert De Niro here, and he goes, the dollar's imploding and you think this is funny? And we have the Bitcoin logo on top of the Joker, and he goes, I do, and I'm tired of pretending it's not. It's almost like we told you so. I hate to do the classic Bitcoin, you know, dancing on the graves of people getting hurt, but hey, we've been telling you, and there's still hope for you if you have an open mind and you wake up to the madness. Anyways, this next meme is by World of Rusty. And he goes, spot the Bitcoiners, popcorn, hold your own money, hashtag Bitcoin. And we have a bank imploding, and we have people doing a bank run on the bank outside, protesting, freaking out, wanting their money. And then it's kind of a Where's Waldo? Can you find the Bitcoiners? Can you find the Bitcoiners? Yes, I found them. We got the classic dude hitting the bong, watching the fight blow up. And we have the other one of them eating the popcorn. This is what I mean by when I say, if you have your a substantial amount of your net worth in Bitcoin, then you don't have to worry about not having your money in the bank, because you are your own bank and you have taken your Bitcoin into self-custody using the Bitcoin wallets that I say every single day, whether it's Cold Card, Seed Signer, Jade, Blue Wallet, Green Wallet, Breeze, Moon, Zeus. I'm missing some today. Spectre, Sparrow, Bitcoin Core, all of the tools that we continuously tell you on the show. And this next one, I know I'm doubling down on being the cliche Bitcoiner mentioning the big short, but I really like this screenshot that DirtGigi put out on his Twitter with the quote from the Big Short, because this is where we are right now. What we saw over the weekend happened again. And it's almost like history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. And, you know, the financial system got bailed out again. And the quote is from the Big Short. They knew the taxpayers would bail them out. They weren't being stupid. They just didn't care. And we have Steve Carell at the end of the Big Short acknowledging what is going on in the world. And it really does feel like we are in the same scenario right now. They gambled with your money, and they knew that they were going to be safe and that they could basically have privatized gains and socialized losses. So again, you know, they knew the taxpayers would bail them out. They weren't being stupid. They were just being overly greedy and they didn't care. And this is what happens when the fiat incentives are this horrible. And this is why, as Bitcoiners, the Bitcoin incentives stay winning. Anyways, guys, drop your meme review score in the chat as we cover ours and we will read them live. Anyways, my meme review score for today is Layered Money by Nick Bhatia. A great book. Highly recommend you guys read it. Easy read. It might explain to you what is happening currently in the financial system. If you have read it, you know, and if you haven't, well, highly recommend you go read it. Anyways, Brian, what is your meme review score?
For the whole thing, you made the comment about Jesus and whether that was blasphemous. I'm a Christian, and so I am going to approve this message. It is not blasphemous. Jesus does not like central bankers, and he loves everybody, but he doesn't love how they central bank. And plus, look at the Bible. The one time that Jesus gets pissed off and like throws people out of somewhere is when the money changers are taking advantage of people. So you better believe he would let that fool drown right there. He would pray for their soul, but he would let them drown. So I give it. Two ohms.
Oh, wow. That's a great score. 2 ohms for Bitcoin Zen. If you know, you know. All right, guys. As you drop your meme review score in the chat, I'm going to shout out our sponsor, Represent. I wear it every single day. I literally wear the dad hat everywhere I go, hoping that people will ask me about it. I think only one person has ever double took on the hat. But anyways, go to representltd.com. Use the promo code SimplyBitcoin. I'm wearing the Peaceful Revolution Orange Pill shirt because we have Brian DeMint from the Orange Pill app. So, you know, double entendre on today's show. But let's get into these meme reviews. Hopefully, I don't rug pull the meme scores because the last time I did this alone, oops, wrong one. Last time I did this alone, apparently I rug pulled on the scores. But look, we got some. Okay, we got some. Okay. All right, let's go. First one we got from Elaine, forgive me. I give those memes the end of central banks and the beginning of the beautiful Bitcoin world. Absolutely love it. Okay, let me see. Hold on. Can I see this? Okay, all right. So, Brian, this I did a double booking. We were going to bring our friend on today. So we have a few people that are trolling me. But anyways, this got Opti's intentionally cut up socks. He goes, score. Wine Army kidnapping Opti after catfishing him in the Orange Pill app DMs and ransoming him until Nico agrees for 1 hour, not safe for work meme review. Didn't agree to that. All right, Loco Texas, he goes, meme score equals 3 stars. Dang, that better be 3 out of 3 stars, bro. Sheesh. Okay, Mr. Robot says 6 out of 10. Wow, throwback, we got numbers. Okay, all right, hey, well, I'll do better next time, Robot. Okay, Bitcoin Becca, I give these memes 1 kick down the Bitcoin rabbit hole. Let's go. Okay, let's see. We got Jackal 1370 gives. I give those memes my monthly stack from the Fold app. Okay, let's go. All right, let's see. One more, Igor. I give those memes Nico and Opti staring at Cheech and Chong in a Fear and Loathing movie, surfing in order of magnitude. Okay, I actually really enjoyed that one. That's like my childhood in one meme. Okay, this next one, Bitcoin for Canadians. I give those memes a scourge for the money charger. Let's go. Okay, we'll go with last one. Rand Mori goes, I give them simply love. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. Okay, well, Brian, really appreciate you coming on. I hope you had a good time. Where can the people find you? What are you working on? Or maybe, hey, I don't know if you can give some sneak peeks. What is Orange Pill App working on?
I do, yeah. So by the end of March, we're only, 11 days from the end of March, our events page is going to be dropping. So you're going to be able to go find local Bitcoin events. Now, this is like the first version of it. So right now, you're just going to be able to search events. But you're going to be able to create events, post events. If you, like for me, I love to train Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You better believe I'm going to have some Saturday morning, Southern California, come and train Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu with Bitcoiners sessions. I mean, people are going to be able to find any sort of event around their passion. You can find conferences. So that events page is going to be a huge tool for Bitcoiners, because most people just don't know that there's something going on. They don't know there's a meetup in their area. They don't know because, you know, you can go to different resources to find these different things, but there's going to be an aggregation of all of the events that are going to be happening in Bitcoin in your area. Or of course you can search outside of your area too. But the thing that I'm most excited about, we're going to have this done by summertime, is going to be our orange pages. The orange pages is where you're going to be able to find Bitcoin merchants that accept Bitcoin near you. And so you want to talk about hyper Bitcoinization. This is one of the things where I'm most excited about. As like the marketing guy of Orange Pill App, think about this. Think about like the least likely Bitcoin business, say like a nail salon in your area. If they don't accept Bitcoin, think of the positive peer pressure we're going to be able to go into these businesses with. I'm going to be able to go into, or you're going to be able to go into any business and say, hey, I know you guys don't accept Bitcoin, but look it, on this app right here, there's 100 Bitcoiners in your area. Guess what? If you accept Bitcoin today, all of those 100 Bitcoiners are going to come in and buy a gift card for their wife, because for no other reason than they just want to support a Bitcoin business. So we're going to be able to orange pill people. They're not even going to have to fully understand Bitcoin. It's just like email. People didn't fully understand email. You just started using it. We're going to be able to do that with merchants and adopting Bitcoin in like one of the most powerful ways possible. Positive Bitcoin social peer pressure.
Let's go. Yeah, agreed. Emphasis on the positive social peer positive pressure. Anyways, all right, really appreciate it, Brian. Just kick back, or if you got to run, by all means, really appreciate you showing up. Let me roll this Thank one out. All right, guys, well, you already know, really appreciate you guys showing up. Of course, I know I forgot on Friday, but I will get the Fountain Value for Value this week on Friday again. I'll make it double long, whatever I have to do. I'll even put a notification in my calendar if I have to, whatever works. But for you guys out there, if you want to hear the show in audio-only format, we are on Anchor, we are on Spotify, we are on Apple, and of course, we're on Fountain as the Value for Value economy. And we really appreciate everyone that supports us, everyone that is continuously spreading the signal. Again, it's not just about simply Bitcoin signal and content, spread all of the Bitcoin content, because people still need to wake up to the fact that we have the solutions to the world's problems. I'm not going to get frustrated over it. Anyways, really appreciate you guys. It is Monday, so we're in for a full week of giving you guys content. Come back. I'm sure we are going to drop all kinds of sauce. Actually, tonight we have a IRL with Caitlin Long. Nico is a little bit of sick, but hey, the show don't stop, and we will continue to give you guys the signal. So come back. Really appreciate it. Get on the mission of spreading the Bitcoin signal. Anyways, peace out. Until tomorrow. We are simply Bitcoin.